Jeremiah chapter 6, beginning with verse 16. We'll have it on the overhead as well. Thus says the Lord, stand in the crossroads and see. Ask for the old paths where the good way is and walk in it. Underscore those words. Ask for the old paths where the good way is and walk in it. Then you will find peace or rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. I also sent a watchman over you saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not listen. How many of you know God has always sent a watchman? Therefore, hear you, nations, and know, O congregations, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will certainly bring calamity on this people. The fruit of their thoughts, because they have not heeded my words nor my law, but rejected it. For what purpose to me comes frankincense from Sheba and sweet thing from a far country? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifice sweet to me. Therefore, says the Lord, I will lay stumbling blocks before these people, and the fathers and the sons together shall follow them. The neighbor and his friend shall perish. Look right up here. The title of my message tonight, America at the Crossroads. Remain standing and bow with me for a word of prayer. Father, speak to us through your word tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I believe that from June of 1962 to June of 1963, America left the area where we were supposed to be. Our nation drastically and dramatically changed in epidemic proportion. And you say, what happened during that time frame? I intend to answer that question tonight with overwhelming evidence. And then I'm going to show you how our nation, through the church, Knoxville Christian Center, and the church as a whole, can help our nation return to the old paths where the good way is and walk in it. How many of you know the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, full of the Holy Ghost, is the solution to the problems in America? If you believe that, give the Lord a hand of praise. First of all, I want you to look at the old paths of America, where we came from. First of all, I want you to look at the old paths of our government, of our nation. 52 out of the 55 writers of the Constitution were evangelical Christians. The old paths of America. The University of Houston, a secular university, did a study, and they took together more than 15,000 of the writers of the forefathers and began to study them because they wanted to find out, why is it that America has been able to survive for almost 250 years now with one form of government as a republic with one constitution? So, at the same time, by the way, France has had 48 forms of government. And then France has had 7 forms of government, and Italy has had 48 forms of government. During the same time frame, we've had one form of government. So this secular university, the University of Houston, they took those 15,000 documents from our founding forefathers, and they sifted them down and whittled them down to 3,154 of them. And they began to look through those documents. And after looking through all of them, they realized that in some fashion, form, or manner, 94% of those documents came directly from the Word of God. They were derived from the Word of God. So when the University of Houston finished this study, they determined that the reason why, and this is a secular university that said this, the reason why America has lasted from almost 250 years with one form of government, with one constitution as a republic, is because America was founded on the Word of God. Can I hear an amen? These are the old paths of America. Do you realize that the legislative, executive, and the judicial branches of our nation, that concept came directly from the Word of God? Did you know that? Isaiah 33 and verse 22, we'll put it on the screen. Here's what it says. It says, the Lord is our lawgiver. That's where we got the concept of the legislative branch. The Lord is our judge. From there we derived the judicial branch. The Lord is our king. And from there we established the executive branch. And for almost 250 years, America has flourished as a nation with this check and balance form of government. Do you realize where the concept for nonprofit organizations like Revival Fires Ministries, as well as churches like Knoxville Christian Center, do you realize where they got that concept? Ezra 7:24. Here's what it says. We'll put it on the overhead. Ezra 7:24 says, you are also to know that you have no authority to impose tax, tribute, or duty on any of the priests, temple servants, or other workers in the house of God. So from Ezra 7:24, our nation, our politicians established nonprofit tax exempt status for nonprofit organizations and churches across America. It came from the Word of God. In 1897, with 87 precedents, our Supreme Court justices said, and I quote, our laws and institutions must necessarily be based upon and include the teachings of the Redeemer of mankind. This is the Supreme Court that said this. Our Supreme Court said that without question that our nation was emphatically based upon Scripture and that we should include unapologetically the Word of God in our nation. These are the old paths of America. Now, let's look at the old paths of our education. And how many of you know that our education has really struggled? So, do you know where we started in our education between 1690 and 1890? The textbook in our schools was called the New England Primer. How many of you have heard of the New England Primer? And at that time frame, between 1690 and 1890, the schools would meet all in one classroom, grades 1 through 12. They'd all meet together. And they would study the New England Primer, and here's how they would learn the alphabet. The children, now understand, think about how our schools have turned out, our public school systems now. And so between 1690 and 1890, that they would alliterate the alphabet in the New England Primer to teach our young people in school the alphabet. And I'm going to give you just a little bit of it. A wise son makes a glad father. A foolish son makes great heaviness for his mother. How many of you know our young people in our public school systems and all of our young people need to know that? And yes, they should get it from home, but they should get it from school as well. Many of them, their homes don't even have Bibles in them. B, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than a great treasure without. C, this is taught in our public schools. C, Come unto Christ, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and he will give you rest. D, do not the abominable things that I hate, saith the Lord. One more. E, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And here's one of the questions that was in the New England Primer. What is the sixth commandment, and what does it forbid? The sixth commandment is, thou shalt not kill. And the sixth commandment forbids Tyler Robinson getting up on the top of a building at a university in Utah and assassinating Charlie Kirk. Jeremiah had a strong word, Pastor, that I believe is needed for America right now. I believe it applies to our nation. So I'll say it like this, Jeremiah chapter 6. America, the church in America, you stand at the crossroads. Ask for the old paths where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find peace for your soul. Now, when did we leave the old paths? When did we leave the old paths? I believe we left the old paths with two court cases that came before the Supreme Court. First of all, in June of 1962, Engle versus Vitale, and then in that was used to remove prayer from school. And then about 12 months later, June of 1963, with a court case that came before the Supreme Court called Abington versus Shem. And with these court cases, the Supreme Court declared it unconstitutional to pray or read the Bible in our public school systems with absolutely no precedent whatsoever. Those two court cases were put in place. Now, when prayer was removed from school, there was a specific prayer that our young people were praying in our public schools, in many of them, and that prayer came before the Supreme Court for that court case. And I want us to look at that prayer that was used to remove prayer from school. Here's what it says. We'll put it on the overhead, but I'll quote it to you. Here's what the young people were praying. This is the prayer that they were praying when prayer was removed from school. Here's what they prayed. Almighty God, we acknowledge our dependence on you. Watch this. We beg your blessings upon us, upon our parents, upon our teachers, and upon our nation. Amen. Now, that prayer, get this, that prayer was not Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Assembly of God, Church of God, Lutheran, or any other. It was a non-denominational prayer. And with that prayer that our young people were praying in our public school systems, with no precedent whatsoever, the Supreme Court said we can no longer have prayer in school. Did you know that when the Bible was removed from school, this is the statement that was used to take the Word of God out of our schools. Here's what it said, and we'll put it on the screen. I'll quote it. It says, this is what the Supreme Court said was the reason why we couldn't have, this is what they used to remove prayer from school. It says, there is a danger that if the Bible is read without explanation, that it could cause psychological harm. You know, the Apostle Paul put it well and described those that agreed with the Supreme Court ruling when he said in Romans 1:22, professing themselves to be wise, they became as fools. Can I hear an amen? So, now what has happened to our nation since we took the Bible out of school? This is important. Watch this. And I just thought, this is wild. But if you take the prayer that was used to remove prayer from school, And you break it down and you see what's happened in all four of those areas. It's going to blow you away. Watch this. Our young people prayed, God, we beg your blessings on us. That represents the students in school, right? God, we beg your blessings on our parents. That represents the family. God, we beg your blessings on our teachers. That represents the educational field. And God, we beg your blessings on our nation. Now, let's break this down. First of all, the young people prayed, God, we beg your blessings on us, the student. Did you know that when the Bible was removed from school, the number one problem in our classrooms among young people was chewing gum and talking in class? That was the number one problems. Number one. Now, we've taken God out of our schools. More than 60% of teenagers use drugs and alcohol. Suicide is second leading cause of death, 10 to 14 years of age. 73% of teens look at pornography. There have been 1,375 school shootings in the past 20 years. I believe that this is a result of us taking God out of our schools. I believe it. It's as though when we kick God out of our schools, the devil came in and made a playground in our public schools when we took the Word of God out of our schools. The second part of that prayer, God, our students were praying, God, we beg your blessings on our parents. That represents the family. Up to 1963, did you know that the divorce rate declined every year for 15 years straight? But from the year that we took the Bible out of school in 1963 to 1983, the divorce rate tripled every year. It's as though the very year that we took the Bible out of school, God took his hand off of the family. Look at the third part of that prayer that our students prayed. The prayer that was used to remove prayer from school that came before the Supreme Court, and they put a stamp of approval on taking prayer out of school. Look at the third part of that prayer that our students prayed. God, we beg your blessings on our teachers. The education heritage. Up to 1963, the SAT scores remained the same. They'd go up one year, they'd go down one year, and they'd level off. And up to 1963, the SAT scores remained the same. But from 1963, for the next 20 years, the SAT scores drastically and dramatically dropped in epidemic proportion. And those in charge of the education of our nation said that it was an unexplainable phenomenon. I can explain it right here, right now. The reason why we've had problems in our schools with the education is because we kicked God out of our schools and the devil has moved in and we're reaping the tragic consequences as a result of it. Now look at the fourth and final part of the prayer that our students were praying, the prayer that was used to remove prayer from school. Are you following me here? Our students prayed, God, we beg your blessings on our nation. I believe, without question, America is the greatest nation in all of the world. Can I hear an amen? Do you believe that, that America is the greatest nation in the world? I believe it. But from the year that we took the Bible out of school in 1963, watch this. From that year moving forward, America became number one in violent crimes in the world. Illiteracy, teenage pregnancy, illegal drugs, and the divorce rate in all five of those areas. And it can tragically be traced back to the very year, 1963, that we took the Word of God out of our schools. I believe we need to get the Word of God back in our schools. Now, that's not the real problem. This is a symptom of the real problem. Now, I don't believe that we should enforce a religion in our schools. But you look at everybody in the Bible, that took a stand in the power of the Holy Ghost against sin. The axe blade dripped of the blood of Paul the Apostle. Peter crucified upside down. They were sawed in two. They were burned at the stake. What's happened to you lately? Where are God's people that are willing to come into the fullness of the Holy Ghost to take back what has been stolen from our nation? You see, the problem in America is not the abortions. That's a symptom of the problem. The problem in America is not the gambling devices and the gambling casinos. The problem in America, that's only a symptom of the problem. The problem in America is not removing God from our schools. That's a symptom of the problem. The real problem is that we, God's people, have failed to occupy. The word occupy, it literally means to be in charge, to be in command, to have dominion over. And when you get in a position spiritually, and that's what you're doing for 2026 right now during these 21 days of fasting and prayer, when you get yourself in a position spiritually to get full to overflowing with the power of the Holy Ghost for miracles and signs and wonders, healing, deliverance, salvation, victory, and breakthrough, the fruit of the Spirit in full operation in your life and the gifts of the Spirit in full operation in your life, then you are positioned to return to the old, our nation, to the old paths where the good way is. The problem is not the sin. Sinners do what they do. They sin. The problem is our church is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the problem. And while we watch Knoxville Christian Center and those of you that are visiting, while we watch the people of sin and Satan in America, the Planned Parenthood, ACLU, while we watch the politically correct and the liberal news media, while we watch the crooked politicians, while we watch the devil and his disciples as they come out of the hideout and they come out of the woodwork, they come out of the closets, they come out of the front doors and they stand up and they're proudly proclaiming their sinfulness in America, I say it's time for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to rise up with the dynamite, dunamis, explosive power of the Holy Ghost and come out of the hideouts, come out of the woodwork, come out of the closets, come out of the front doors and stand up in America and be as loudmouthed and noisy and courageous as concerned as the people are for the devil's things to be that way for God. Give him a hand of praise. And God has given us every weapon that we need to fight this battle and be victorious. Hear me. The Bible clearly teaches in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, Ephesians 4, and 1 Peter chapter 4 that God uses Christians operating the spiritual gifts, empowering you through the Holy Ghost, building up the church, to fulfill the mission that God has for us to fulfill. The way that America, the way that Knoxville, the way that Tennessee will survive and flourish is for God's people full of the dynamite power of the Holy Ghost to rise up and to lead our nation by the power and the presence of the Holy Ghost to the old path where the good way is, so that we can walk in it. Psalm 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. Psalm 33 and verse 12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, whose people is his inheritance. Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Hear me carefully. I told you, a couple of nights ago, I was raised in a church that did not believe in the baptism in the Holy Ghost or the evidence of speaking in tongues and the gifts of the Spirit. But when I got my life in right relationship with the Lord and I allowed the Holy Spirit to fulfill the call of God in my life and I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit began to direct me as God has been directing many of you sitting right here. And God has a job for every one of us. Everybody's job is different. But as you get full of the Holy Ghost, you can determine and distinguish God's voice from others. So very quickly, listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. We've been able to give away, and I think we've got a picture of this. You saw it on the screen already. We've been able to give away more than 2.5 million Bibles to Russian public school students as textbooks. When that door opened up, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart in August, in August of 1991, to be able to go into Russia. And then when that happened, then Boris Yeltsin, the president at that time, there shortly after, the Lord spoke to me about that and providing Bibles. I'm thinking to myself, in the natural, Pastor, there's no way that we can give Bibles away in Russia in August of 1991 before Yeltsin was taken captive in the Kremlin building. But then he was taken captive. And so we had a trip planned to go to Russia in August of 91, and we had to cancel that trip. No, we moved it back to September, because in just a few days, that door in Russia opened, and before you know it, I'm sitting in the Kremlin building in a meeting with the Minister of Education in charge of all of the public schools of Russia in September of 1991, and we were given permission to put Bibles as textbooks in the public schools of Russia. You see that? Only God could do that, and it's being sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And he asked me, what kind of a plan do you have for Bibles in the public schools of America? I had to hang my head low and tell him, Russia put God in school, but America kicked God out. How many of you know that's not God's plan? And the Holy Spirit began to deal with me coming back from Russia. And I began to pray, and I said, Lord, if you want me to be a part of you getting the Word of God into our schools, I yield to what you want to do. So I'm praying. How many of you know sometimes the Lord is just preparing you for something he's going to do? He doesn't do it right that second. He's preparing you for it. I'm watching in January of 1995, Tom Brokaw. How many of you remember Tom Brokaw back in the day? He was doing a special saying that Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich was going to be delivering one, he was going to be voting on the Religious Freedoms Act to get prayer and Bible reading back in school. And as I'm watching a news program, the Holy Spirit speaks to me about what I'm supposed to do. Yes, the Holy Spirit speaks to me while I'm watching the news. Pastor, even Fox News. But this of course, was Tom Brokaw. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, deliver 1 million signatures. Understand, this is 1995. The ministry that God had called me to was not anywhere where it is now. And of course, the Lord is still expanding the ministry, but the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart to gather and deliver. That key word, gather. Me, gather and deliver 1 million signatures to get prayer and Bible reading back in school. So I began the process, and I was presenting it to churches, and Pastor, I'm telling you, we were just getting a little blip of what we needed to get from January to June. And I said, Lord, there's no way I can do this. God said, but I told you to do it, and I'll make the way for it. And the Holy Spirit led me to go to Newt Gingrich's district, which was Marietta, Georgia. And all of the churches in that area gladly got on board. And within just a few weeks, we had gathered more than 1 million signatures. And you see the picture right there. In June of 1995, we delivered 1 million signatures to then Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich, calling upon them to restore voluntary prayer and Bible reading to the public schools of America. And they took those petitions and they put them on the floor of the Congress when they voted on the Religious Freedoms Act. Only God could have put that together. And it's being sensitive to the power of the Holy Spirit. There shortly after, the Holy Spirit laid on my heart to design the Truth For Youth Bible. And I think we've got a picture of it that we can put up there. Most of you are familiar with this. It's got 100 pages in the front of comic stories that deal with the truth about issues of moral concern that young people are confronted with on a regular basis. If we've got any junior high or high school or college age young people that are here tonight, I'll give you a copy of this as you leave tonight if you don't already have one. But these deal with the truth about issues of moral concern, and we put the plan of salvation in each one of the stories. How many of you know that God wants our young people not only to know the truth about what the Bible says about sexual purity, abortion, homosexuality, drugs, drunkenness, peer pressure, sorcery, witchcraft? We deal with the truth about cutting, sexting, bullying, suicide. We deal with the truth about sorcery and witchcraft. We deal with the truth about honor. Our young people need to know to honor their parents and honor the authority that God places over them. We deal with the truth about things like evolution. We started teaching our young people they evolved from apes. Now many of them have started behaving like apes. They need to know that we were made in the image of God. So we've got these comic stories that deal with the truth about those issues, and the Holy Spirit laid on my heart to put the plan of salvation in each one of the stories. Because they don't just need to know the truth about these things, they need to know how to give their life to Jesus. You saw in the video, we've had more than 30,000 young people that we know of, more than 30,000 young people that we know of that have filled out this decision card and sent it to our nation that have given their heart to the Lord for the very first time, more than 30,000 in more than 25 years. Somebody give the Lord a hand clap of praise for that, that we know of. So we began distributing these. The Holy Spirit laid on my heart to put one of these Bibles into the hands of every junior high, high school, and college age young person in America. I said, God, that's too big. At the time, I said, yes. And then I began to research and found out that there's 53.8 million students in our public schools and 40 million don't have a Bible. 40 million. I said, God, I can't do this. God said, but I can. And I told you to do it, and we've given away now a little over 3 million, so right now we're just scratching the surface, but we're in the process, so you pray about that. But all of this was the leading of the Holy Spirit. I could not have heard any of this unless I was in a position spiritually to allow the Holy Spirit to work through me. And God is no respecter of persons. Hear me. If we're going to return to the old paths, you yourself have got to come into the fullness. God has given us the weapons that we need and the power of the Holy Ghost. And He's got something for everybody in this building, not just Knoxville Christian Center, but every one of you that are watching by way of live stream, every one of you that are in this building, that are visiting, that are home folk. God has a plan, a purpose, a destiny, an assignment, a calling that He wants to fulfill through you. And let me tell you something, it puts a big smile on God's face whenever you position yourself to allow the Holy Ghost to flow through you. Give Him a hand of praise. Amen? So, our nation needs to return to the old paths. And I'm looking right now at the solution. It's Jesus Christ through the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we return to the old paths. And I'm not talking about nominal Christianity. I am talking about you allowing the dynamite power of the Holy Ghost to flow through you. And if you will do that, I believe that we're going to see the light of Jesus Christ shine in every part of Knoxville, every part of Tennessee, every part of America, every part of the world. God can use you, and He wants to use you. And He's got a job for every one of us. That's why I've been here for the past 3 days. Is because God has a job for you.